are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
Words of wisdom, words of faith. Since the beginning of the year, we here at Covenant Church in Madison have been focusing on one word at a time with our daily devotional and with our Sunday worship, with the hope that God could speak to us and help us grow as Christians through the simplicity and the wonderful depth of a single word. We are people of the Word. Our Bible begins with God's words that bring forth creation. God speaks, and the sun and the moon and the stars are created. God speaks, and the birds and the fish and the land animals and humankind are all created. The New Testament tells us that Jesus is the Word made flesh who has come to dwell among us, full of grace and truth. So we really are people of the Word. And as Christians, we take God's Word seriously. We take the Bible seriously. The Bible is filled with words. And we live in a time and a place and a culture where the Bible is available in abundance. We have easy access to all of these words. We have men's Bibles and women's Bibles and children's Bibles and study Bibles and all sorts of languages and online Bibles. God's Word is readily available to us. And goodness knows there are a lot of words in here. And even beyond the Bible, we are swimming in a sea of words and images and information all around us, thanks to our technology, thanks to those little devices that most of us keep in our pockets and keep in our hands all the time. We have almost unlimited access to all sorts of information. With just a few taps on our screen, we could learn about quantum physics, we could learn about the Roman Empire, we could learn about Aaron Rodgers' career statistics. And if we wanted to, we could watch just about any movie, probably for a price, some of them, or we could watch videos on a wide variety of subjects, home repair tutorials, music instrument lessons, puppy videos, whatever it is, there's all sorts of information that's available for us. Our options for watching, reading, and listening are virtually limitless. It kind of reminds me of going to an ice cream store, a huge ice cream store with several hundred flavors, and being overwhelmed at the choices. Black raspberry, butter pecan, mint chocolate chip cookie dough. What are we going to do? We get paralyzed with all the decision. Think what it would be like if you were driving across the desert and you stopped in a little gas station, and all they had in their little cooler were good old-fashioned ice cream sandwiches. You would have that ice cream sandwich, and you would love it. It would be there for you. You'd focus on it. You'd really, really appreciate it. Or suppose you rent a cabin in the woods, and after a long day, you sit down, you want to watch a little television. Well, the television doesn't work, but there's a DVD player, and there's one DVD of some old classic movie. That's the only option you've got. You'd pop in that DVD, you'd probably enjoy watching that movie, being able to focus on that and that alone. When we're separated from these overwhelming choices in our world, we're grateful for what we have, and we have new appreciation for what's right in front of us. When we clear our minds of all the noise, we can hear new things. Do you ever get great ideas lying in bed at night or standing in the shower? I don't think that's an accident. We're freeing our minds of other distractions, and our minds can work in new ways. That's kind of what I see happening in our scripture reading for today. You were wondering when I was going to get to that, I imagine. Well, in our scripture reading for today, this Transfiguration Sunday, this last Sunday before the season of Lent, before the journey to Jerusalem begins, Jesus takes three disciples up on a mountain, away from the noise, away from the distractions. Maybe Jesus is hoping that fresh, clean mountain air will help the disciples see and hear and understand things in a new way. The Gospels paint a picture of the disciples not really understanding what Jesus is all about. It's particularly evident in Mark's Gospel, which is where our reading comes from today. So it's like Jesus takes these three disciples to a quiet place, a beautiful place, with the hope that they might see and hear things more clearly. On the mountaintop, the voice of God speaks, encouraging the disciples to pay attention. Hear now the account of the Transfiguration from Mark chapter 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture. We live in a noisy world. It can be very hard to listen to what is important. As we move into this holy season of Lent, let me invite you to make it a season of listening. Listening to the people around you. Listening to your loved ones. Listening to the voices of people long silenced. Maybe people who are poor, people who are oppressed, people who are broken and hurting, people who are sad and lonely. And listening to ourselves, listening to our bodies, listening to our deepest yearnings. Parker Palmer writes about listening to your life. Lent is a good time for this deep kind of listening. And at its core, I think all of that listening is really listening for God. Listening for God to speak to us through the circumstances and the people in our world. In order to really listen to what's important, we have to block out some of the noise. And we get a lot of noise from technology, from our phones, from our tablets, from our desktops, from our TVs, even from the radio. In this time of COVID, we're obviously grateful for technology to help us keep connected when we can't be physically close to one another. We're grateful for email and social media and Zoom gatherings and texting and more, all of these wonderful ways to connect with people. But our human nature leads us astray, and like we do with so many other things, we don't keep it in balance, and we take too much of a good thing too often. I've heard this concern from a lot of people, concern about overuse of technology and getting sucked into all sorts of bad habits. So it brought me back to a book that I started reading a few years ago, and I finally finished it now. It's called Bored and Brilliant: How Spacing Out Can Unlock Your Most Productive and Creative Self by Manoush Zomorodi, who does an NPR podcast. She's a journalist, and she's heard from thousands of people who feel like they might be addicted to their cell phones, and that addiction is causing health problems and productivity problems. The book lays out a fascinating process of encouraging new ways of relating to technology to give our minds a rest, and I would add giving our souls a rest as well. And that resting space gives us room to think and grow and to thrive. She's not anti-technology, she's for healthy use of technology. For instance, she doesn't denounce all video games and say they're bad and you should just get rid of them. She talks about wise use of those video games and setting a timer and limiting our use. She says it's good in small doses to relieve a little bit of stress to play some of those games. She cites a doctor who advocates small and appropriate doses of video games in the same way that we take 2 aspirin and we don't take 200 aspirin. The book, like many others these days, encourages us to be more mindful and more intentional about how we use our technology in order to be happier and healthier and wiser. Now, I'm fully aware of the irony of talking about the challenges and dangers of technology while you're sitting there watching this worship service on a screen. I get that. I understand that. In this crazy COVID time, we need our screens more than ever. But that means we need boundaries, we need guidelines, we need help to maintain a healthy relationship with our technology. We need self-control as much as ever. So as we enter into this season of Lent, a time when people often give up something to make room in their lives for God, I want to offer some suggestions of some things for you to consider. Buzz free. Turn off some or all of your notifications. Most of the so-called breaking news that we get isn't all that important. And we don't really need a buzz or a ding or a little red circle every time we get an email or an update from someone. Screen free time. Intentionally go screenless. Block out an hour or two or 12 or 24 hours. No phone, no TV, no tablet. For some people, a whole hour would be a real challenge. For other people, not so much. Give it a try. See what works for you. Mornings and evenings free. Get in the habit of turning off your screens a while before bed, 30 minutes, 60 minutes. And when you get up in the morning, keep the screens off for a while. You'll find you'll sleep better, most likely. And in the morning, if you don't grab your phone first thing, maybe take a break and do some stretching or think about priorities for the day or go for a walk outside unless it's 20 below wind chill factor. You might find you'll have a clearer sense of purpose and direction for that day. Consider a screen-free zone. Designate certain areas of your house as no screens allowed. Maybe the dinner table, maybe the bedroom, maybe the bathroom, maybe definitely the bathroom. Phone-free excursion. Go for a walk or go to the store and intentionally leave your phone at home. You'll be okay, really. Maybe you noticed each of these suggestions, these invitations, has the word free in it. Being more mindful about our technology and getting a little distance from our technology gives us a new sense of freedom to think, to be more creative, and as Christians, I would say, to be more open to hearing the voice of God, to hearing the call of God, to experiencing the love of God, to listen for what's really important in life. Now, please note, these invitations are not intended for you to take and shove in somebody else's face and bash them over the head with it. These invitations are primarily for you. There might be room for some discussion, some loving, patient, gracious discussion with loved ones, but just like charity begins at home, transformation begins at home. Transformation begins with us, so start with yourself. The word of the day is listen. The gospel reading has God telling the disciples, "This is my son, listen to him." As disciples, as followers, we're called to listen to the words of Jesus. And even though it's Valentine's Day today, a day when we think about love and we think about kind and gracious and fun sorts of things, we need to remember that Jesus' teachings also include challenging things, things that make life a little bit more difficult, but maybe more meaningful, more purposeful. Jesus says these things in a spirit of love, I would say. He says things like, love your neighbors and your enemies. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Lose your life to save it. Follow me. The good news of the gospel is that God loves us. And that God calls us and claims us and continues to speak to us. Let's do our best to listen. Amen.